John the Baptist sounds quite scathing, doesn't he? It's just a bit severe. And so where was that? He said to the crowd, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to ourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." And then it goes on. And then he said, and the people asked, "What should we do?" And then he said, "The man who has two tunics should share." And then he said, the tax collectors shouldn't rip the people off. Basically, he was asking them to be honorable, to be good. And that was before Jesus came. And when Jesus came, being good was not enough. Just being good wasn't going to bring salvation. So we hear him. We hear John chastising the crowd. But the funny thing is, usually when people are coming for baptism, we're all very happy that they are. So I wonder why John was so scathing and seemed very hard on them. But I suppose John was making them question what their motives were for wanting to be baptized. And John was also explaining to them that it's not about rituals. It's not about us coming to church every Sunday. It's not about paying our tithes and singing beautifully and reading the scriptures and doing all those things, but it's what's in the heart that counts. Because like the people before Christ started, we here and now tend to want a quick fix. And John put it to them that basically they wanted to escape calamities, that they'd been told the end of the world was coming and God was going to judge them. So they wanted to baptize and then continue living the lives they lived. But he had to be very harsh. I mean, he seemed to be being harsh, but he was helping them to fully understand the commitments they have to God. And I'm glad that I listened to it again, because he used other words in exhortation of the people, because it would have been pretty tricky if he had just given them stick and didn't soften it a bit in the end to encourage them. And the crowds took it on. The interesting thing I find here too was he didn't ask them to pray in the name of Jesus. And he didn't actually specifically say the Holy Spirit would come and help them. He speaks about what pleases God. It's doing good, being kind. He had almost summarized the Ten Commandments, which is summarized in the New Testament somewhere, where it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and soul and all of that, and your neighbor as yourself. And people would say, well, the Ten Commandments is different. But the thing is, if you loved your neighbor, you wouldn't do any of the 10 things that he commanded. So it's all there. And I believe that John the Baptist wanted the crowds to have true repentance. This talk is about a call to turn around. For there to be repentance, because he kept saying, repent, repent, for the what's coming down, the kingdom of God is going to come, right? For there to be repentance, there has to be remorse. We all know we do things and we're remorseful, but it doesn't stop there, because we can be remorseful, like my one daughter might pinch the other and say, "I didn't do it." And then you catch them and they say, "But you did." "Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, I won't do it again." But you know that the minute you turn your back, she'll stick her tongue out and say, "I'll pinch you again." Yeah, it shows the remorse, but the repentance is to repent of what's the lifestyles and the things that were not pleasing to God. What does repentance mean? Let's throw it around. What is it to repent? Repentance is intentional. You make a decision. Repentance is it 180 degrees? Turn around totally. Just turn around. So you're going down the motorway and then you turn and come back that way. So it's 1,000 apologies to my Catholic relatives, but it's not about going every Sunday for confession and doing, Father, I've sinned, I'm not worthy of your love, I've done this, I wouldn't do it again, and then go back on Monday to Saturday and do it and come back. That is not repentance. So this is what John was communicating to the people before they were baptized. So there's remorse and there's repentance, which leads to transformation. We become transformed. Our lives and our minds become transformed and we become fruitful, which is wonderful. But it's tough. It's not something that we can do easily. Fortunately for us, we have got the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to repent and be transformed. And becoming transformed, become fruitful, and we're able to display the fruits of the Holy Spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Ouch. And I'm going to... This is going to lead us neatly into Philippians 4, which talks about joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. When we have been baptized because we are remorseful and repented and transformed, the Holy Spirit lives in us and we are able to rejoice. I was speaking earlier about sour Christians. And that goes with the whole ritualistic belief in God or Christianity where we don't have joy. We don't display joy. We don't show joy. And it might be easy to say be joyful all the time. But it helps. It makes the medicine go down. It makes the pain, the struggle, and the things we're going through. So Paul knew what he was talking about when he called on the Philippian Christians to rejoice in the Lord always. Praying without ceasing and to give thanks in all things. If you notice that scripture said, sorry guys, all things. Philippians 4. This is neat. I got it. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. He's not talking about us being dormant or being weak or passive. Our gentleness can be seen in our being assertive and defending the voiceless. And the weak, and the poor, and the broken. Martin Luther King was nowhere being weak, but he was not aggressive. He goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not worry, my goodness. We wake up, we're born to worry. We wake up and we worry. We worry about the mortgage, we worry about the weather, about whether we have our lessons plans done, our health, our children, our spouses. We worry. We worry about our finances. And yet we've been told not to be anxious. But I think Paul was a very wise man, because our worrying in itself is not going to change anything. And if we have the Holy Spirit in us and we learn to rest in Him, we remember that our Father God knows what we need. Everything on that list, which we daren't even share with people we know, He knows. And we trust that He can provide for us. And with that trust alone brings us resting in Him. And in resting Him, the anxiousness, the anxiety reduces. It's a tough call to be praying and praising and thanking God when you're not sure you're going to get what you're praying for. However, it makes life a lot easier, because once we know and trust Him, we know that somehow one day He's going to provide, He's going to answer the prayer. And it's a win-win situation, because as we praise and we thank and rejoice, our anxiety levels drop. And we get that peace that passes all understanding. Trusting Him to provide encourages to thank Him. So when we're feeling really rubbish and we're having going through pretty difficult, many difficulties, the best thing I find that transports me from being the pit of hell to hope is to remember that He loves me, that He loves us, and He cares, and He is present in whatever we're going through. So then I'm able, or we're able to thank Him in anticipation. We're thanking Him. It's almost like, well, I used to think, oh, aren't we bribing Him so that He thinks we're so grateful? But it does lift the gloom. And the anticipation leads us to the peace which passes all understanding. It makes us rest in Him. Our circumstances may not change, but our faith and hope in Him lifts the burden. And then verse 6 says, I need to change my glasses actually. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These minds that we have, our mind is just wonderful. Our minds are wonderful things which help us to reason, to analyze, and to solve problems, and make and achieve great things, and have some fantastic results. But these minds can also lead us to such trouble. Our minds can become corrupt, and they can be, conformed to the ways of the world. These minds can go to dark places, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to guard our minds. And in Thessalonians, it says we pull down strongholds. And these strongholds we're pulling, it's not there. It's there in the mind, our imaginations, and it travels by that. It brings confusion. It brings paranoia, anger, resentment. And we build the most incredible things, destructive things in our mind. And then it travels from there and it stays in our hearts. But with the Holy Spirit guarding our hearts and our minds, we are able to align our hearts and our minds and our will with God's. And when we align all of this with God's, then the results are even more spectacular. We experience that peace which passes all understanding. And the Holy Spirit stands guard to protect our hearts and our minds and the very core of our being. So we will go through the fires. It won't burn us. And it says the waters will not overwhelm us and we will be unwell. We will have difficulties in relationships and jobs and we may be broke. All sorts of things. Even Brexit will come and go. But so long as we look at God and we trust him and we continue to thank him through it all and with hope and a great anticipation that he will hear our prayers, that he will give us that peace which will take us through these difficulties, we will make it. So let's look up to him, let's trust him, let's believe, and let's grit our teeth and smile a little bit, and the smile will grow bigger, and it will come from our hearts, and we will praise and thank him and look forward to the wonderful things that he will do. It sounds very glib and easy. It's not. It's not. But let's look in our hearts and let us repent. Let us turn around from things that burden us, things which block our receptivities, and ask him to help us to do a complete turnaround, and so that we can experience that wonderful peace which passes all understanding. Amen. I'm done.